everyone. We started off doing a really good podcast, but we had some technical issues, which means we've divided it into three parts. Unfortunately, because we had a drop-off, there are bits missing. So bear with us. There's some good stuff in here, and thanks for listening.
Behave yourself, and don't you break. All right. hello, everybody. It's Fitzy from greatmindsoftoday.com, and we're doing another podcast with Alex.
Hello.
And with Sinead.
Hey.
And Alex, if you tell the people about your blog.
Well, they're supposed to know. They shouldn't even be here if they don't know about my
blog. Give it a plug.
It's too long in this place.wordpress.com, but really you're not going to be here unless you've already been reading it. So, it is actually about an article I've written. The reason that we have gathered here today to try and flesh out a topic that I think matters more than any other topic, because it's kind of like the center of our world, and it's our mind.
Yeah.
And the center of our world seems to have gotten locked down, and we seem to have gotten locked inside of it. And it's a real serious problem, because I think most people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe it's not like that at all, but what we're going to do today is just explore those ideas and just come from personal experience, which is the only kind of experience that's worth coming from.
Yeah.
Certainly, in my mind, I feel really so bogged down. So, like trying to walk in molasses or something, you know, trying to think in molasses.
Hmm. It's one of those slippery eels that the moment you try and approach it, it sort of has a nasty habit of getting away from you.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that if you try to hold a thought about the process of thinking itself, it frays at the edges, it fades out. You know, you try to get to a conclusion, and while you're still working on getting to a conclusion, it seems to evaporate like mist on a hot morning.
Yeah,
it's a really good way of putting it, yeah.
And it's kind of freaky, because I mean, we take it for granted that we think, and we think that we're thinking with this thing which thinks automatically, but it doesn't. It's been taught how to think, and that's one of the issues we've got today, is that we're working inside, and going from Alex's article, we're inside a circle, we're inside a cycle, and we keep going round and round and round and round, and we'd happily assume that that's us, but it's not.
Yeah, and the cycle is more like a structure, a concrete structure.
Like a box.
Yeah, and we actually can't get out. We think we can, because we can think about it to some extent. We think that we have some control over it. But when you actually try to work with the contents of your mind, you'll find you're not going anywhere.
No.
I don't see anybody going anywhere except in circles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because the mind that created the pattern can almost be blind to the pattern it created, because, you know, no sooner has it got some sort of cycle in place, you fall within it. So you're perceiving from within the cycle, and you need to pull back and look from outside your thinking processes, or that particular process. So, you sort of get a top-down or stratospheric view of your own thinking. And that's interesting, because the first habit is to jump straight back in there and be...
Oh, it is. Yeah, back in and try and batter it into shape, or...
Or be drawn into it.
Yeah, we really... Yeah, yeah. And honestly, I do meditation every day. Well, it's called meditation. Uh-oh. Can you hear me?
I can, yep.
Okay, so Sinead's just...
I'm back. I don't know what happened. Sorry, guys.
Uh-oh. No worries.
It's the damn new weird order.
Knew it. They're after me.
It's those space Nazis in the submarine bases at Antarctica. They're after us. Not to worry, though. Well, bounces off a spare satellite that we got. There we go. We're in business.
Wonderful. Yeah, I was saying that I do, I suppose, do this meditation every day, which is just to focus on, just to keep putting my attention on my breathing. So it's nothing special. And just pull my attention off my thoughts. And Jesus, you know, it is almost impossible. I may be the world's worst meditator. But the massive difficulty in pulling my attention away from my thoughts, and at the same time kind of thinking, well, they're only thoughts, you know, they're only thoughts. Well, then why can't you just pull your attention away from them? If they're only a thought, you know, and they don't really matter, surely you can just walk away from them and you know, but I can't, you know, I follow them like a dog.
They have a kind of velocity too. So if you put your hand out to snap, you know, to catch one, it sort of goes, either tears right through or it drags you along with it.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it's kind of the safest option is not to engage with it. And then the mind that creates the thought wants you to engage with it. It's just this attention grabbing system keeps pulling you back into it. Which is why meditation is quite fun. When it, you know, when it does kick off nicely, you can see your own thoughts whizzing by. And one of the amusing things is you look at them thinking, ah, my thoughts are crazy.
Well, they are, and they're extremely boring. And yet
they
also seem to have emotions attached to them. And so often I'll find that if there's an emotion of, say, fear or worry or anxiety, I must follow that thought because, you know, what if? What's lurking just around the corner of that thought? They're so kind of, they seem, when you think about them, so flimsy, but the power behind them.
Yeah, these are the things that convince men to go off and kill each other.
Well, that's right. That's right. You know, they seem so intangible, but they are, they're not. You see, and here again, already, there is, I feel, this massive struggle going on with all of us trying to explain something that is that we use every day, that is so huge in our lives, and yet look at us. Yeah. We try to get the, no, I'm just going to talk about these, and your voice goes, your ability to communicate as a human being is just out the window, and you've got this massive, you become like a little baby who hasn't learned how to talk yet, you know, just sort of ga, ga, ga.
Yeah, and the neat trick about it too is that if you're in a situation where you are desperate to describe either your mental state or your emotional state, and you haven't boiled it down to bullet points, you know, like some kind of autistic accountant, then you need to pause to let the thinking actually take place so you can do it. And if you're in a tense situation where someone wants an answer immediately, either because there's an emergency or because they're actually battering you, they want to manipulate you in some way or harm you in some way, they take that pause of silence as an indication of incompetence. Mm. And you see this, I think, you may see it if anyone's ever been on the receiving end of a medical professional, especially someone in the mental health organization. They can have a habit of assuming that your tongue-tied inability to respond, you know, on command, like a good doggy, is a sign that you are mentally unstable, or that you're incompetent, or that you're unintelligent, or there's something mentally wrong with you. Because we live in this culture where we're automatically using the thought process, and one of the underlying things is you have to have an answer every time someone asks a question, and you have to have it right away, which is not how we function naturally. I mean, to always have an answer for everything would mean you were a fucking dictionary.
There's a, I was just trying to find a phrase. So my work, the article I've just written has leans very heavily on the work of Edward de Bono, who you said it so well this morning, Fitzy, because we were talking about this. You know the autistic one? Can you do that one again?
Nope, because I've plumb forgotten it.
Oh, well, luckily I was listening to you, even though you weren't listening to yourself. You said he was like an autistic genius in a world of autistic people.
Exactly.
Because So we were having this discussion about how hard that I find the man a genius, but dear God, I find it so hard to digest what he says at the same time. And I'm not sure how much is his writing style and how much is the actual content of the work that he, you know, what he has to work on, which is this terrible, messy goo that is our mind and that also is our understanding of our mind. So I was just, one of the things I picked out here, one of the things I'd written his work, it says the arrogance of logic means that if we have a logically impeccable argument, then we must be right. This is, you know, as much as we want to look at the mind, we also have to look at the structures that are in place that we are forced to use. So the mind is tricky enough, but we are forced to use our mind in a particular way that he says it goes back to the Renaissance.
And some of the bad habits.
When they pulled all the thinking in from the Greeks, you know, the Greeks. And he said at that time it was useful, but now it's really not. He talks about how we don't have any words to describe how something is useful up until a certain point. And after that point, it becomes, you know, actually, well, it can become toxic. So it may be that this world that we live in, the structure of our thinking, at one point was useful. Now it is gone. It reached that point, God knows, probably quite a while ago, that point of usefulness, and it switched over into toxicity.
Yeah.
So we are trying to communicate with each other with a system that has become toxic.
Yeah. And, you know, you can point out just how useful that is to certain people.
Oh, absolutely. And we are basically gibbering idiots.
Yeah.
Well, I am. I'll put my hand up. Me too. Because I can sense the possibilities, but when it comes to communicating them, to creating connections with other people, having real dialogue, then it almost doesn't happen. It almost never happens. And, you know, you even want to just explain one point. It is so hard. You know, we've set up a structure here in these podcasts, in these conversations, that is one of the few places where exploration can happen. We go back out into our normal lives, and that's you're back to battering each other with a hammer, to point across.
Yeah. Basically, a conversation in the Western world is showing up with a machine gun and trying to shoot your ideas into someone's face.
And there's that part of the system. Our system is based around argument.
Yeah, and binary argument. Black and white. It's going to be right and wrong.
Being right.
That's right, Sinead. You are right. You are so right.
You're so right about being right.
Oh, I love hearing that. Thanks.
Does that make you feel important?
So important.
Good. And but that being important will last until you are found wrong, which won't be very long, I'm sure.
Oh, even better, you'll find yourself wrong, even when you're right. Which is the beauty of your mind. I mean, it can actually take intuition, which says, hey, you know what? You really, really shouldn't be doing that. And you go, nah, I'm not going to stay as my intuition. What have you done lately? Nothing. Right. And then bang, you have an accident. And you go, shit, I should listen to myself.
Yeah.
And then you'll go, oh, I'll do that next time. And then you won't. Welcome to being human.
You know, I remember years ago, my sister telling me when her kids were small and my son was small, and a teacher, a woman who actually very well considered in New Zealand, she went far. She told my sister the secret of dealing with children. You just give them two choices. So do you want this one or this one?
Oh, my God. I've heard this. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And look, so there's a system that works with very small children so they don't get too confused, but they still have a choice. You can have this one or this one. Yet that is our world.
that's what we have now, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like chicken or beef.
Yeah, man or woman, if we have the two choices. These are baby steps. There's, of course, there's nothing in the middle, is there? No. This one or this one.
And that's the state of the West. I mean, we're infantilized. You hit 40, you hit 50, doesn't really matter because do you want tea or coffee? And it's just, well, wait a fucking minute. You know, last few weeks I've been thinking our imagination can be so much bigger than this. Should be. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if as a child, fine, you're going to have peas or carrots. What's it going to be? Well, fine. But you hit a certain age. It's like, well, you're going to have 1,000 options and any one of them could be valid. And if you're not worried about making mistakes, why don't you go and explore them all? Why don't you go to a restaurant, order everything? Can't afford it. Alrighty then. Then next time you go to the restaurant, don't order the same thing. Order something different and just keep working your way through that menu till you've tried everything. And fuck it.
Yeah.
You can do anything, be anything, think anything. A huge continuum of thoughts. And what do we get? This year for the election, you really want to vote for this party because they've got the strongest economic policy. What, like last time, which didn't work? You mean that policy that the other guys used as well? It didn't work. So, we've gotten to that stage now. I think we at least in the alt movements, for want of a better term, people are aware that the system of communication we use doesn't convey the entirety of the facts of our situation. It's like that inkling that something's terribly wrong, but you're not too sure how to put into words. And at the same time, we'll start blaming things. Well, it's the Nazis on the moon bases. That's the ones who are doing it. It's the lizard people from the alternative dimension. They're the ones who are doing it. It's like, well, fuck no, it's us. It's because we can't describe reality to ourselves without getting caught up with that. It's a black or white outcome. It's good or bad. It's God or the devil. It's blah, blah, blah. But it's not. It's none of those things. They're just two words, you know. Who cares?
Yeah, that's that dichotomy again. Yep. So if we step back, and this is why I wrote the article and what I'm still struggling to grasp with, it's de Bono's ideas, okay, looking at the mind as a mechanism. Okay, we're looking for a way to look at something that is very hard to look at. So we can use the best way to do it is to use simple to try and do it in a simple way, because simple ways are generally much easier to grasp.
Yep.
How he describes our mind is that it makes patterns. Okay, that's what it does. Or our brain does. It's just there to make patterns. Now, on the whole, that is absolutely brilliant because we need it so badly. So the mind's always making, you could say, pattern maps.
Mm.
That's how, when you get up in the morning, you know how to brush your teeth, how to put on your clothes, how to make your breakfast, how to make a cup of tea, whatever. Because you have a pattern already laid there. It's wonderful. So we have a zillion billion patterns for different things, and that's great. That's what the mind does. It doesn't do anything as such. It doesn't organize things. Okay, so the experiences, the information, they come into us, and they will go and be fitted into whichever pattern they are closest to. So your mind doesn't go, oh, yes, I'm looking at this, I'm weighing this up. Nope, it just goes, in it goes, and boom, that's that. That belongs to that pattern, that belongs over there. And the patterns become very big and strong.
Hmm.
So they become like a highway. And you know, when you're on a highway, it can be very, very hard